Hey, this is Evan Longoria of your San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
It's Thursday, July 9th, 2020, and this is episode 198 of The TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. I'm your host, Chad King, and yes, we are coming to you a little bit earlier than we originally thought, but we want to bring you something in between. A lot of stuff has happened. We also have a really special preview episode that we'll talk about at the end of this podcast, but joining me today, as always, near Las Vegas, Nevada, is Eric Nathanson. How's it going, man?
It's going great. It's going to be hot, hot, hot. Highs of 114 this weekend. Whoa. So every day I thank whoever invented air conditioning that they existed on this earth. Otherwise, I couldn't live in this wonderful desert climate. So things are good, you know, still, you know, everybody's healthy here. I assume everybody's healthy there as we are still in the middle of this pandemic and going through things, which is why we are sporadic with bringing our episodes in. You know, you just mentioned that this is episode 198, so our previews is going to be 199. It came so close. I mean, well, maybe we should try to sneak something in.
There's no reason. Exactly. I was thinking about that when I made the show notes today, and I put in the 198 in the tab, and I was like, all right, well, scheduled right now, our season preview is 199. Maybe it's worth sneaking in a short 20-minute podcast between now and then. I'm thinking that's a good idea, Eric. So anyway, all you out there, we'll see what happens, because we're going to have some special guests on our season preview episode. A couple of people who have long been either started the podcast or been associated with the podcast, especially what we used to do back in the day. We would get together physically before every season, the week before the first pitch, and we'd meet at a bar in San Francisco. The bars varied, but it would be anywhere between four and six of us. We'd physically meet. I'd bring all my recording equipment up there. We'd order a ton of beers, pitchers of beer, and it was so much fun. I mean, definitely go back and they're all there in the archives for you to listen to. So much fun. But we, you know, we get together, we make our season predictions for wins, playoff potential, and a lot of oddities that we always kind of come up with. But yeah, we're going to have a couple of veterans with us in a couple of weeks. And, you know, maybe it's a good idea to try and make that. Just force it to 200, because normally we would have been at 200 weeks ago if we had a normal season. But I think that would be a good idea.
We should be over halfway through the season by now. Plus, you know, I think we should try as a pod to shoot for 2021 having a live season preview show if things are back to the way they are.
Yeah.
Supposed to be.
That's a big if. As you all know out there, you're doing everything remotely. Well, we're going to be doing our season preview remotely. Hey, we're used to that. That's okay. We do this podcast remotely. Eric lives much closer now, but he still is about 8 hours away from me. So, but that said, welcome to the podcast. We are going to talk about a lot of stuff that's happened between the 8 days of our last podcast. And the main thing is that the Giants have started camp and the season schedule was released on Monday. That's what we were all kind of salivating about. We knew, and we talked about last week, 60-game season, 40 against the NL West, 10 games against each of the four teams, 20 games against the AL West. Now, what we didn't know at the time is that I had made the novice assumption that it was going to be four games against each of the AL West teams, because 2-2. But you and I also discussed the possibility of teams playing more than three-game and four-game series against each other because they're trying to limit the travel. So I guess in hindsight, it does make sense that you can't have 2-2 series against every single AL West team, because that really increases the travel. So it's a kind of an imbalanced schedule, and we'll go over that in a second, but it's out. The Giants open up on national television Thursday, July 23rd in the evening against and at the LA Dodgers, of course, which is a very common opponent in the beginning of the season. They always, first of all, the Giants have always requested to start on the road, and it's generally granted. They generally do not start the season at home. I actually don't know the history behind that, Eric. I don't know if you've heard anything about that, but why is it that you think the Giants always want to start on the road, or at least always are granted that?
The only thing I've ever read, and Larry Bear was the one that talked about it, was that if they request to start out on the road, generally that means that they're going to get home games at the end of the season, at the end of September, and they get to end the season at home.
Yeah.
And they feel like they're going to, you know, sell more tickets in September later in the season, you know, obviously when the Giants are competitive. So I think it was that kind of a thing. It's about money. I'm sure of it. Everything comes down to money. So I think that's pretty much where that comes from.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, but they'll be starting in LA at Dodger Stadium, which is currently the nation's largest COVID-19 testing site, which is also interesting. They'll have to break that down in the next 2 weeks. Yeah, you should see the aerial imagery of the lines of cars coming out of LA or Dodger Stadium parking lot. That said, there are many quirks to this schedule. And we talked about this last week where we knew that it wasn't going to be a balanced schedule. It wasn't going to be perfect. Some teams were going to get screwed, at least on paper. And the flip side to that is, well, but in the totality of everything, most of the teams, all the teams, hypothetically, or the sub-500 teams, have a better shot at making the playoffs. The better teams actually have a slightly reduced chance of making the playoffs. So everything's kind of brought and squished a little bit towards the norm, towards the middle. And so I think they've balanced that out through different things. Now, that said, I don't know if home field advantage is going to be as important this year because clearly there are no fans.
Yes.
And that's right. The big thing. Yes, you can talk about having last at bat. I get that. That's an inherent into the home field advantage. But that's usually a pretty small advantage. The advantage relies on the home ballpark crowd. It's the cheering, it's the noise, it's all that stuff. It's a human psychology thing. And, you know, it's the way it works. Now, that plays into what the Giants are maybe on paper disadvantaged with. They're already obviously not as good as the Dodgers on paper. They play the Dodgers 10 times. They play the Dodgers 7 times at Dodger Stadium. And on top of that, those 7 games are the first 12 games of the season. I mean, the Giants have a gauntlet. They have a wood chipper to run through the first 12 games, 7 of them being at Dodger Stadium. And those are all the whole 7. But then they only get a 3-game series back at Oracle Park later in the year against the Dodgers. So, I mean, it's like right up front, man. If the Giants want any shot at the postseason this year, they need to come out of the gate in those 7 games minimum. Absolute bare minimum is 4 out of 7. I'm just saying it right here. What do you think?
I totally agree with that. And I get kind of a kick out of this because we made a couple of predictions on schedules and we whiffed on both of them.
Yeah.
You know, I said maybe that there would be 5 games in one place and then the other 5 in their place. And they're like, no, screw that. We're going to make the Giants play in Dodger Stadium 7 times. That part, I agree with you. It doesn't bother me as much. Joey Bart, think about this scenario. Joey Bart is a rookie and has to play his first game at Dodger Stadium. Think about it when Dodger Stadium is full. Think about it when there is noise and people and screaming. They often talk in the minor leagues about the third deck. You know, that changes everything, seeing that third deck, because minor league ballparks don't have those big upper decks.
Right.
But then you get to the big leagues and it's full of people and it kind of freaks you out. Well, a guy like Joey Bart is not going to get freaked out at an empty Dodger Stadium. So he's just going to swing away at a pitch. And that psychological aspect you're mentioning doesn't matter. So it's entirely possible that the Giants could take 4 out of 7 from the Dodgers to start out. 5 out of 7. I mean, you got to start out hot. I said it to you the other day, in the last 7 years, only 2 of the 7 seasons were the Dodgers in first place after 60 games. So they have generally been a team that takes a while to get going. So early is when you want to get the Dodgers.
Yeah.
So if anything, the Giants, it sounds backwards, but if anything, it's a bit of an advantage because the Dodgers always seem to take a while to gel, and the Giants, they're just going to have to rely on guys getting hot at different times, and, you know, starting the season might be the time some guys get hot.
And of course, you know, they're going to be playing those 7 games at Dodger Stadium with the max roster they have this year. For 2 weeks, it's going to be at 30. Now that that's for both teams, of course. So both teams have the same. It's not like the Giants get 30 and the Dodgers get 26. But that said, if the Giants run into trouble, they do have backup. So they have extra backup. So, you know, you bring up good points there, Eric, because, yeah, the Dodgers traditionally have not been a very strong out-of-the-gate team. And so we don't know if that's going to hold true again this year. They could be a completely different team and run off 17 out of 20 to start the season. We don't know. But if history holds true, then yes, I would rather, you know, face the Dodgers in the upfront part of the season than the back end. And that said, the back end of the season, the Giants actually have a very relatively cushy schedule against the Padres and Rockies and others to wrap up at home. So, you know, I think it's going to come down to this. Every team going into September, because that's only halfway through the season practically, just barely halfway through the past halfway through the season, is going to hypothetically and numerically be in the race, right? Well, yeah. The Giants' September is going to be easier than the July and August. So if the Giants can stay in the race, you know, within five games or something like that, September looks good for them. And, you know, stranger things have happened. Nothing is stranger this season. So this is going to be new for everyone. And the whole prediction in terms of like number of wins and playoff percentages that everybody is going for, sorry for the phone, is going to be weird.
All the numbers are skewed at this point. It's just, sample size is such a phrase in baseball parlance, and we don't know what a 60-game sample size is really going to do. The only thing that can't do is tank. You just can't tank out of the gate. You can't go 1-8, 1-9, 2-8, 2-10. You just can't tank out of the gate. Stay within a couple games of 500, even 3-4 games under 500 heading into September, and you have a shot. You know, it's like you said, the schedule with Seattle, San Diego, Seattle again, Colorado, San Diego. I know some of these teams are better, but, you know, it's not like facing the Dodgers so many times. They're, like you said, they're done and out of the way.
The one thing that kind of, so MLB Network announced the schedules on Monday. And when they got to the NL West, what was really funny is they went, but team by team by division, they didn't do the Giants. They forgot to do them. They literally did the Dodgers, the Rockies, the Diamondbacks. They forgot to do the Giants. And so the Giants, right after that segment, released their schedule officially because they had to wait till MLB TV did that. I haven't heard any response from MLB.TV why they messed up there. But they did. They completely forgot to announce the Giants schedule. But yeah, you know, the one thing that they kept harping on during the NL West segment, which I watched the entirety of, is they kept saying, oh, the Padres. We've been hearing this for 3 years, Eric. The Giants still finished ahead of the Padres last year. And I'm not saying the Padres can't beat the Giants. That's totally within the realm of possibility, especially within a 60-game season, clearly. But I don't understand this like glomming onto the Padres for so many years and all the attention, because, you know, again, we heard this attention last year with, you know, the signings and then the year before that. It's like, okay, look, they're the Padres, you know, like it's going to be a while. You know, it's been since 99 since they did anything. So, you know, it's probably going to be a while again. Again, that said, 60 game season, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a Mariners Padres World Series.
Right. I mean, but hey, the Giants finished better than the Padres, and the Giants didn't sign Manny Machado to some huge contract. The Giants didn't have Fernando Tatis Jr. tearing stuff up, you know, to start the season. And they still finished with a better schedule. You know, the Padres have a new manager. I mean, I know the Giants have a new manager in Kapler, but, you know, this Jace Tingler, I guess, is the manager of the Padres now. So again, they're the hot team. They're like the Arizona Cardinals in football.
Yes.
Where every few years, everybody's like, oh, this team's on the rise. They got a good young core and they've signed a couple of key players. And then they just keep falling flat on their face.
Yep.
Yep. You know, and we're not trying to, I mean, it doesn't make us feel better as Giants fans. It's just how the Padres are. Like, yeah. It's just facts. It is. So there's no scariness with the Padres being on the back end of that schedule, because who's to say they'll even put it together? Yeah. I mean, we really have no idea. That's the one thing that just keeps coming back. We have no idea who's going to play, who's not going to play, and we'll get to some of that in a few minutes. But, you know, that will change how things go throughout the season. Like, are the Giants going to face Clayton Kershaw? Are they going to face Madison Bumgarner? You know, these are questions that we really don't have answers to, because we don't know who will play.
So let's nice segue into schedule notables. So they won't potentially face Bumgarner until August 21st. That is the first time they play the Diamondbacks. And again, it's a three-game series at Oracle Park, so there's no guarantee that Bumgarner will be in the rotation during that series. You know, look, they're going to play 10 games against the Diamondbacks this year. They're going to face Bumgarner, aside from an injury, right? I mean, he's going to pitch against the Giants. It's going
to
happen.
Yep. It's got to. I mean, like, just the fates have to make it happen.
And that's going to be so much fun, either way you look at it. I mean, I know that Posey and Bumgarner, both in spring training, had really good quotes looking forward to it. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And obviously, pitchers typically have the advantage the first time around, so I wouldn't be surprised if Bumgarner shuts the Giants down that first time. But, you know, it's going to be interesting because, you know, regular season, he's a good pitcher. He's not an upper echelon top 10% pitcher. So who knows what's going to happen. The other thing
I saw a video of him talking the other day, and he was wearing D-backs gear, and it just looked weird. It's just like, did you put the wrong shirt on when you woke up this morning, dude? You know?
It reminded me of when Randy Johnson, in that big fight against the Giants when he was still with Arizona, put on the Giants hat. And it just happened to be a Nostradamus event.
I think it was Charlie Hayes' hat, too.
To our little knowledge, he actually ended up wearing a Giants hat for a full year. So that was kind of funny. So other notables, again, we had assumed there was going to be a bounce schedule with the AL West because it was with the NL West. No, not at all. So we thought four times against every team. They're going to play the A's six times. They're also going to visit the Astros for three games, host the Rangers for three games, and they're going to play home-and-home series of two games each against the Angels and Mariners. In fact, one series, I think it's in August or maybe September, they're going to visit Angel Stadium for two games and then come right back to Oracle Park for two games. So it's going to be like back-to-back, you know, kind of a four-game playoff series, if you will.
Oh, I see that. Okay. Yeah,
so it's interesting because they're going to play the A's the most, and they're going to play the Astros and the Rangers, I guess, in between three games. And they're going to play the Angels and Mariners four times, two and two at each home and away. So they've split it all up. Now, if you look across baseball, on paper, again, on paper is totally different than what happens in actuality. There are definitely some teams that are benefiting from this imbalanced schedule and other teams that are getting screwed. And I would say the Giants are getting screwed in the front end with, you know, the Dodgers 7 of their first 12 and 7 out of 10 on the road at Dodger Stadium. But it balances out, right? So some teams have to play the Astros like seven times, right? They have to play the Yankees seven times. Well, they're playing the Rays. Oh, I shouldn't say the Rays. The Rays are a pretty good team. They're playing other teams that aren't as good three times or four times. So those one or two game swings on paper, which don't seem like a lot, are going to make a huge, huge difference in the wild card race, Eric. I mean, how can it not? I mean, 60 games is not enough time for teams to separate. The cream isn't going to go very high. The crap isn't going to go very low. They're all going to be compressed. So that one or two game margin, because you had a crappier schedule, a harder schedule than your intra-divisional teammate or opponent did, and you finish one game behind them, that sucks. It sucks. But that's, again, as we talked about last week, that's life in this virus era. It's like you take what you can.
Yep. Well, chaos is what I see happening. I see three or four teams tying with the exact same record, because it's really easy to have the same record around 60 games than after 162. Again, sample size. And I think we're in for chaos. I think Major League Baseball is going to realize sometime during September that they're going to need to implement some sort of little playoff tier to decide who the wildcard teams are going to be specifically. Because you could have teams that tie for a division, and then the loser of that gets put into the wildcard pool with the three other teams that tied one game worse than they did. But you can't hold it against them that they played 61 games compared to 60 games, and it gets them all the minutiae of that that they have to deal with every season. So I think it's going to be chaos, and I can't wait. I think that's going to be fun. And I think the Giants will be right in the middle of the chaos, because I think every team will be right in the middle of the chaos. Yeah. You can't count anybody out.
Yeah,
you really can't. Who knows?
It was the 2011 season? I believe it was, where there was like all these teams going down in the last second, and the Rays were walking off with bombs with Evan Longoria and others. Like, the Giants were not in the playoffs that year, but it was so much fun to watch that playoff chaos happen in the last couple of days of the season with the playoff games and the extra games and everything like that. So, yeah, even if the Giants don't, you know, they're not in the mix this year, I hope they are. But if they're not, I do think that there's going to be some incredible finishes to the season and some crazy playoff scenarios where, like you said, they're going we have to have five playoff games to find out who's the wild card, you know? It's going to be crazy because they have so many fewer tiebreakers because they don't have the common opponents. They don't have, the head-to-head winning percentages. They don't have a lot of the tiebreakers they used to have in the past. So they may have to set that up. But of course, that flies against the whole playoff scheduling, which they're trying to get ahead of a potential second wave, which, of course, the first wave is surging over our heads right now. That said, things aren't probably going to be very good then. And we know that we may not even get this far in the baseball season. Let's talk about that. So the Giants officially opened up training camp on Wednesday last week, but they physically got out on the field on Friday after their tests were done. Initially, pitcher Luis Madero tested positive, but since then, two more individuals, quote-unquote, have tested positive. Unfortunately, they had to shut down camp on Tuesday because there was a delay in the FedEx truck in the delivery of the test. So because they didn't know, they had to say, okay, since we don't know the results of the test, we need to like just shut everything down. So they shut everything down Tuesday. They opened it back up Wednesday when they got the results. But as it turned out, two more individuals tested positive. Now that has not been released. And one of the reasons is because of HIPAA, as we understand it. So certainly there are leaks and there are players like Luis Madero. He actually gave permission to the Giants to release his name as a positive test candidate. So kudos to Luis. I mean, honestly, it's like, okay, I mean, if I was a player, I guess I wouldn't be embarrassed by it. I'd be like, I don't care if they know if I tested positive or not. But these other two individuals, I think clearly have not given permission. We don't know if they're staff or players or what. And I know there's a little bit of deduction that can be played, but that's really, really difficult. And that ties into Buster Posey, because Buster Posey, before he disappeared, was asked if he, he wasn't asked, but in talking to him about the virus, he made well known that he is keeping the door open to opting out for the season. And obviously five or six major players in MLB, including David Price last week, you know, the Dodgers, which is a big one, opted out for the season. So he's keeping that door open. And in fact, he wants to keep his family safe. And according to Andrew Baggerly of The Athletic, Posey said that the following when asked whether he is considering opting out, quote, "Yeah, definitely. I think there's still some reservation on my end as well. I want to see how things progress over the next couple of weeks. It would be naive or silly not to gauge what's going on around you," end quote. And if I was in his position, that's a perfect quote. That is a perfect quote. You're coming to camp. You have an open mind. You have the open door. You're like, look, I'm willing to explore this. I'm willing to see what's going to happen. But if shit hits the fan, I'm backing out, because guess what? I got plenty of money. I got my family to consider. Yeah. And I'm missing 60 games. Whatever. We've already missed 102 games this season. What's another 60? So I'm out. So I totally respect his decision and appeal. Now that said, I'm not saying he's one of the two individuals that tested positive, not at all. But he has left camp on a personal issue, and Gabe Kapler, when pressed about it, said he had to address it. No further comment, basically. So who knows what's going on?
I mean, that's the weird thing. The fact that they open up camps. All right, Buster's a smart guy. Yeah. He did hit it on the head here. You know, he said, I want to see how things progress over the next couple of weeks, and we would be naive or silly not to gauge what's going on around you. The fact that there's already been failures along the chain of testing, you know, does not bode well for guys like Buster who are looking at the season, guys like Mike Trout who are looking at this season and being like, should I really put myself in jeopardy? And I don't think, Chad, like four different teams had to suspend workouts for a couple days. This is a multi-billion-dollar corporation. Major League Baseball and its entities is a multi-billion-dollar corporation, and they cannot get testing done right. Oh my God, there was a delay in testing because of the 4th. Like, we didn't know that July 4th was coming. I'm sorry, you pay extra. You're a billion-dollar company. I don't care if you need to put another $10,000 in the pocket of the lab company that you're working with for that day. You can do it. You just do it because you can't, you know. I learned today that these minor league guys on the crew are getting paid like $18 a day. Like, these owners, they put out a plan. They had that comprehensive packet. And Chad, I don't think they're sticking to it at all. And I don't blame these guys, and I don't blame Buster if he decides to opt out. Now, I don't know if this personal issue is COVID-related, but, you know, these guys are people, and we have to remember that as fans. These are not just slabs of meat. And so I totally get that all of them being cautious about what they want to do. And MLB has not shown that they have this under control with the testing just yet. And it makes me wonder, this kind of shoots off that, it makes me wonder if guys like Buster and Mike Trout and, say, Chris Bryant – and say a Nolan Arenado, I'm stuck in the National League, except for Trout. But, you know, Matt Chapman, say these guys decide to opt out of the season. Are lower tiered players going to follow suit? Are the only people that are going to be left are these hungry kids who are willing to put their life on the line with COVID just to make it to Major League Baseball? And if that's the case, I mean, that's not baseball. You know, I really do have to wonder. So, you know, it's going to be, we have to do the same thing. We have to see how things progress over the next couple of weeks, you know, because I'm really concerned that there's going to be an exodus of players, and that might be the downfall of everything that we're talking about.
And the other thing is that, you know, actually, you know, this is a good question, Eric. I don't know the answer to this question. I assume that they don't get paid. I could be wrong about this because I don't know if it's guaranteed, but you know, Posey was scheduled to earn $20 million this year. And with the new schedule, he's scheduled to earn about $7 million this year based on the 60-game schedule. So if he opts out, because that is a personal choice, I assume he does not get paid that $7 million. Am I correct in that? I actually never looked into that.
You know, that's a great question. I don't have the answer either. Neither of us is obviously a lawyer, so we don't know the legalities on that.
You know, they've always said MLB contracts are guaranteed, unlike NFL contracts and others, right?
Right.
So if they're guaranteed, then I thought on paper he does get paid whatever is guaranteed, which is the $7 million, because they don't get the other 100 games. That said, David Price has opted out, Ryan Zimmerman and others have opted out, so... as a player, if you were sacrificing $7 million, but you're still making well over $100 million, you know, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that with protecting my family. Now, that said, if you're still getting paid those $7 million or whatever their portions are for that 60 games, if you opt out, well, then I'm definitely good with it. I'm you're not sacrificing any money. You're not. There's nothing that's bad except maybe a public persona or perception. Other than that, and letting your teammates down, quote unquote, whatever, which I wouldn't fault Posey for because family comes first. That is before baseball. I don't care.
But even those kind of takes, the takes of these guys that are opting out, these guys that say they don't want to play, they're letting their teams down. Every time some sports writer comes up with the take, like, these guys should all be in camp. Yeah, they're all getting shouted down right away. There was some guy in Philly who did it the other day. And it's like, you know, they're not pieces of meat. They're just not pieces of meat. We got to respect them as people because we are all going through the pandemic. And I actually think that's why there would never be a public backlash to Trout, to Posey. And I actually think that it would be well received if they choose to opt out, because I feel like leaders in the scientific and the people that are fighting this pandemic can point to guys like a Posey, to a Trout, and say, look, this guy doesn't feel safe enough to play Major League Baseball, you know, and we shouldn't be doing this, that, or the other thing.
Yeah, but your kids are going to be forced in a classroom for 5 days a week.
That's exactly why I had to stop myself. I was trying not to go there.
Not getting political. This is science. This is science. This is a science angle, people. Yes. We're talking about transmission of a virus, right? I mean, are you going to be catcher outdoors or a kid in a 30-kid classroom for 6 hours? I'm just saying.
Right. That's what it is. Like I it's totally different. It's apples and, you know, peaches, not even peaches, apples and bananas, you know. It's just, it's so funny because baseball, like it blows my mind that we just as a human, it kind of blows my mind. And this is totally a human moment, not baseball. It just blows my mind that we're putting sports on such a priority list compared to other things that we need to be taken care of. And it's really, it's almost surreal to be living through this and talking. And I love talking about the Giants and these few, you know, when Chad and I get together and record the podcast, you know, for these couple hours, I don't think about the stresses I have in my life. I don't think about the pandemic. I don't worry, you know, oh my God, my wife coughed. Does she have the COVID? You know, I don't have to worry about that kind of stuff during this, you know, specific time of the day. But the reality is like, I still can't believe we're actually talking about a baseball season. And there's so many other things that just haven't been figured out. It really scares me that this is all for naught, like that everybody's just kind of deluding themselves. But I hope not. I really hope that there is a season. Like, I look forward to the season preview show for that reason, because I feel like everybody's been, you know, at home so long for this pandemic. We're going to be a little unhinged this year.
I know. You know, I know you don't have kids, but you definitely, you know, follow science and take guidelines and everything like that. And I just have to say this. If my kids got paid $7 million a year to go to school, they're going to school.
Yes.
But no. In fact, my son goes to a private school, and I got to pay them to educate him.
$7 million a year.
Yeah, $7 million a year. No, it is funny. It's like, you know, you brought up a good point. It's like, look, these players, they have enough money, especially the Poseys and the Trouts and the, you know, just they have enough money. So they don't need to subject their family to this. If they do sacrifice their contract, which, again, I'm not positive about that. But if they sacrifice $7 million to have the, you know, clarity of mind, the peace of mind that their family is safe, they have the ability to do that. Because, you know, their $7 million, Eric, is like $1,000 to us, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, would you rather go to work every day and be exposed to this virus and bring it home to your family? One of them may have a compromised immune system or some sort of issue. Would you pay $1,000 to guarantee that you don't get that virus and bring it home? Yeah, I would be a person who would do that. So that's the way you have to think. Don't think about $7 million. Don't think about $20 million. Don't think about $30 million. You can't. That's funny money, people. Those people are fine. They're never going to be in a poor situation. Now, when it comes to players that are barely going to make the roster and they're going to make major league minimums, that's where it really starts to become an issue. It really, really does. The ones who live in the luxury spots like Posey and others, they have the luxury to decide because they're going to be fine. The ones who are low, and especially the ones who have just cracked into the major leagues, you know, where they're just made or about to make the $500,000 minimum. Yes, that's a ton of money, people. I get it. But if you haven't made it yet and this is your first year, how do you deny that? That's going to make your family so financially secure, at least for several years or more. So those are the guys that I feel sorry for because they're the ones that are under so much pressure.
I would do it though. If I was a 19-year-old kid,
well, I would too. But
I'd do it. I'd go for it. I'd go for broke, you know. And like MLB, they say they're trying. They put these protocols into place. Like even the Giants, I read an article today by Kerry Crowley. Even the Giants with their workouts, they're trying to stay with social distancing. They're working in smaller groups. They're not having any indoor meetings. They've turned a parking, the players' parking structure into a gym. They're probably using the suites. Like I saw the Red Sox, they gave every player their own suite. Like that was their own place to change and it's their own locker room. Everybody has their own suite during their training camp, and I think that's a great idea, and I bet the Giants have done something somewhat similar because they're not all piling in a clubhouse. You're not looking to get into the Petri dish. You're looking to stay out in the open. And so certain guys, though, are going to do whatever they can, and they might make the wrong choice at some point and go out at some point when they're not supposed to and bring the virus back, and nobody knows that that's happening. You know, and so they take all these protocols and they try. And I mean, I give them credit. Everything I read about the Giants coaching staff, it's weird, but it made me actually feel good about them for the future. They are micromanagers, Gabe Kapler and his bench coach, Kai Correa. There's no doubt about it. They're micromanagers. But they really seemed to want to make sure that the players had input with them on the things that they were doing during this pandemic time with the workouts. And so I think that they're going to try, you know, so they're saying they're trying their hardest not to put anybody at risk. But if Buster Posey opts out, it gives Joey Bart a wide open opportunity to suddenly become an everyday major leaguer.
Big time.
You know, I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. And then, you know, what are the – this actually opens other doors. What do the Giants do at the end of the season? Say Joey comes in and Posey doesn't play and Bart hits, like, 15 homers in, you know, 53 games. Like, you know, we're all going to be like, oh, my God, Joey Bart, Buster who? I mean, which we never would be, you know. But because we all love Buster. But, I mean, those things are a possibility. And all these players have to take – every single one of those things that we've mentioned over the last 15 minutes into consideration for them and their families. And so I understand where Buster's coming from. And that's, I think, what the dominoes of the season, whether or not it plays out at all. These little other things that happen along the way, they're just, we don't know yet because everything's evolving every day. And I'm hoping that they play, and that's so it's surreal. Like I'm gonna try to transition somehow now to pointing out that Brandon Belt has a foot injury, and
surprise, surprise, surprise!
Right? Ain't that the truth? I mean, my foot hurts too, Brandon, but I still go up.
Oh my god!
You know, but it's just weird because, like, you talk about it, you know, Belt's out 5 to 7 days with a foot injury. So is he really out 5 to 7 days with a foot injury, or does he have the COVID and they're just using something else as cover? We don't really know. But Belt's out, which is just, you know, if you're of the Jewish persuasion, Manish Tana Halayla Hazeh, which means why is tonight different than any other nights? And the answer with Brandon Belt is it's not.
It's not. I know, again, we've hit this for years. You know, he was the next Will Clark. He was the next Jack Clark. He was the next JT Snow. And he just hasn't manifested. Has he been inadequate first baseman? Yes. Has he been the person that we thought he was going to be? No, he hasn't. And primarily because of injuries. It's unfortunate. I love the guy. Oh, my God. He's absolutely the best interview I've ever had. It's him and Jeremy Affeldt. I mean, honestly, those guys are incredible interviews. I mean, they have the greatest personality and the greatest heart. So I don't question his heart at all, period. I don't. He's cursed, you know? It's just one of those things.
Yep.
But, you know, that aside, the Giants have done a lot in terms of roster development. And, you know, I'm just going to read this off right now for transactions for the last week or so. And look, Eric, and you guys out that are listening, if I can't expand on these players, I'm sorry. We're not going to spend an hour talking about guys who are never going to make the final roster, okay? So I'm just going to read these. All right, so on July 1st, they signed catcher Patrick Bailey, and a lot of these are their draft picks, by the way, that they just drafted recently. So they just wrapped it up in the past week or so. On the 2nd, they signed right-handed pitcher Ryan Murphy and shortstop Jimmy Glowenki. So we talked about these guys a couple of weeks ago in the Giants draft, and third baseman Casey Schmidt. On the third, they signed, or they invited, non-roster catcher Patrick Bailey to summer training. They say spring training here, but we know it's summer training. On the third, they also signed left-handed pitcher Nick Swainy. They invited non-roster third baseman Luis Toribio to spring training on July 4th. Also on the 4th, they invited non-roster right-handed pitcher Camilo Duval, non-roster catcher Chadwick Trump, non-roster shortstop Will Wilson, of course, who's a that was a valued trade chip from the Angels. So yeah, that is going to be very interesting to see what happens with him. On the 7th, they signed right-handed pitcher RJ Dabovich. We talked about him a couple of weeks ago. On the 8th, they placed left-handed pitcher Jarlin Garcia on the 10-day injured list. On the 8th, that's yesterday, they invited non-roster center fielder Alexander Canario, left-handed pitcher Caleb Barragar, and I might be murdering these names, by the way, right-handed pitcher Barragar, and right-handed pitcher Sam Wolf to spring training or
Sam
summer
Wolf
training.
One's not on the app. Yeah, these, like, we might see a random pitcher like a Barragar or somebody because, you know, they're going to have, like, 15 pitchers on the roster to start the season. And, you know, if a bunch of people come down with something, we're bound to. But most of these guys, you're right, we've never heard of them. We'll never see them at the major league level.
No. It's, you know, this is a large 60-player pool, so they can do what they want. They only have a 40-man roster. And, of course, a lot of that 40-man is not going to be on the final 30-man roster, which then gets whittled to 30 or to 28 and then to 26 for the majority of the season. So, you know, more than half of these guys, you know, listed, actually way more than half of these guys I just talked about, because that doesn't include the main roster, are right. never going to see a peek into the main roster.
And since there's no minor league baseball this year, this is what the organization has to do to keep guys close by so they can see how they develop and get better. I mean, you know, not get better, but at least see how they develop and see which guys they can plug and play when they need to.
No, it's unfortunate. I mean, we're gonna see definitely some of these guys come up and down. And, you know, you made a good point with, you know, Buster Posey. If he goes down or if he opts out, it's an open field. It's an open field. So Joey Bart would most certainly be on the roster. In fact, I definitely expect him on the roster for the first 2 weeks of the season in Dodger Stadium. I think he will have two or three at-bats in Dodger Stadium. So, you know,
at least, yeah, I agree.
These are the things that are going to be fun to watch, right? I mean, they have that, oh my God, why can't I remember his name, Eric? The 19-year-old top 10 prospect. He's the number one prospect for the Giants.
Luciano, I think is how it's said.
You guys are yelling at us right now. I know. But he hit a bomb summer training just yesterday. Oh, my God. He crushed it. He is 19 years old, and he's a shortstop. And he looks like the skinny version of Jose Uribe, which is saying something. He is, like, so skinny. You know, so he has so much more muscular development to go, especially in his lower half. And, you know, he is the top prospect or one of the top prospects for the Giants, you know, top 20 overall. And he just turned 19. He's exciting, man. I think, you know, assuming, hey, look, this podcast has lasted for almost 10 years. So I'm sure we're going to be going on 5 years from now. But in the next 3 years, I think we're going to be talking about him. I mean, big time.
I hope so. Giants need one of those. You know, we had the core come up of the Posey, Crawford, Belt, all the homegrown guys. But, like, who's shown up over the last 5-6 years, you know? We get flashes in the pans of Joe Panic and Matt Duffy. You know, we don't really get guys that stick and stay, like that hot prospect. The Giants never have the nationally televised game because somebody like Yordan Alvarez is making his debut. You know what I mean? But with Luciano, Marco Luciano, it's entirely possible.
Yeah, Marco Luciano.
They could have that.
No, he's 19. And if you see his video, and I'll put it in the show notes right here, he hits this monster home run at Oracle Park. And, I mean, I weigh almost twice as much as him. And yet, I could not hit the ball barely half as far as him. He is just—he's a gifted individual. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see what happens with him over the years. Now, they've clearly stated, no, he is not making the 30-man roster, period. He's not. He's going to be practicing in Sacramento, and he is not going to be a guy for a year or two or more down the road, you know? So, like, look at Joey Bart, who's older. He might, you know, he will crack the 30-man roster. I'm pretty confident about that. I just don't know if he's going to last to the 26-man roster. But we'll see with how the roster develops.
But he'll have a shot to stay on that roster if he wants.
Well, he'll definitely have a shot if he, like, hits some monster home runs in Dodger Stadium, right, for sure.
And that's some of the fun stuff where this year's season preview show is going to be different, because we're going to be talking about these random matchups that we might get to see. I mean, can you imagine Clayton Kershaw versus Joey Bart?
Oh, my gosh. Week?
How cool is that, you know?
Yeah, so speaking of which, we're having our annual season preview show on Tuesday, July 21st, with a couple of special guests. It should start around 3 p.m. Pacific time. That's a very malleable, variable time. So just, you know, pay attention to social media as we start. We're planning on having a live video stream for that. So keep an eye on social media for when we go live. So overall, you can follow us at TortureCast on Twitter individually. You can follow me at ChadK21, Eric at 2OutHits, that's with the number 2. Like us on Facebook, and you can also find us on YouTube as well. Eric, you got anything else going on, dude?
Nope, just wear a mask, people.
Yeah, wear a mask. I mean, look, you've all seen it out there, right? Not just Southern California, but Arizona, Texas, Florida have been surging, and it's all been linked back to people, you know, not wearing masks and opening up too early. It's just, you know, look, this is not politics. This is about science. The virus doesn't care who you are. If the virus floats around and lands on a human, they're infecting that human. That's all they care about. That's all the virus cares about. So think about the physics of it. Think about the science of it, right? So just be careful out there, people, you know, and if you do go out, you know, take your precautions. We can all do that. Eric and I have done that, and we haven't caught it yet.
It's true. You have to say that. It's a qualifier.
Well, no, because, you know, now that they confirmed, you know, we have more than 1% of the U.S. population that is confirmed to have been infected. But we know that there's way more people that have been infected, were asymptomatic or barely symptomatic, and never were tested. And that estimate goes up to about 10 times as much. So if you assume that 10% of the U.S. population has been infected, yeah, that's a lot of people. That said, that's 9 out of 10 people that still have not been infected. So be careful out there, folks, because the one thing we don't want to do is what we would do before vaccine. And that's just ravage this virus through the population till we get to about 70% infection, which is when it would slow down and we would reach what they call herd immunity, right? Because there's not as many bodies to infect, because 7 out of 10 have antibodies. The problem with that is we have 135,000 dead, with maybe up to 10% of the population. So you do the math. If you multiply that by 7, that's 1 million people. So we're trying to protect us, people, you know. We're going to have a vaccine coming up in hopefully early 2021. Do what you can. I know everyone has a different lifestyle, a different political vantage point, a different scientific vantage point, and sometimes you got to go to work. I get it. I'm not telling you what to do and not to do. I'm just saying, be careful. Be careful. Think about others. That's it. I just took a shot of whiskey.
I didn't have anything to add there, so I just, like, you know, wear a mask, people. I'm not kidding. Just wear a mask. Well, you can. It's the middle of, you're at home.
Yeah.
I you know, just wear a mask. That's all.
We're an itch podcast. We know most of you want to wear a mask. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
You know, just wear a mask. Any of those that don't want to wear a mask, you think it's like violating your rights, whatever. Hey, look, that's your deal. I don't like it, but, you know, hey, listen to our podcast still.
Yeah, I'm going to wear a mask. Well, I don't want any of our listeners to, I don't want any of our listeners to die, because if you guys die, then we don't have a podcast.
Our numbers go down.
I'm just bringing it full circle.
That's so, right. You know, we want you to be alive.
So you can stay alive. So we've got things coming in the future where we want our listeners to be more interactive with us. So you got to make it through the pandemic so we can do those things together.
Eric brings up a good point there. We have some information. It's still being tied up into a bow right now. I know I mentioned this last week, but we're going to have a lot of exciting stuff and potential avenues for our listeners to be involved in our podcasts. So there's going to be a lot of stuff coming up, probably a lot of more live broadcasts and potentially even video/live podcast coming up. So look for that. This is a strange time, everyone. We have more time to produce these kind of products that maybe you're willing to view because you're home more often, we're home right. more often. So why not? I mean, this is a weird season. Why not be weird about it? I mean, I'm fine with that.
I mean, Netflix is going to run out of shows eventually.
So. I know, right? I mean, hasn't everyone seen all of Netflix? I'm getting there.
Right. That's what I'm saying. There's only so much stuff you can watch. So if baseball comes along, we'll be able to create new content and everybody will be happy.
Yeah. All right, well, that's it for episode 198. We'll see if we have 199 in between our season preview. We might do that. Anyway, for Eric, this is Chad signing off. Until next time, a boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying we'll see you next time.